We greet you this morning in Jesus' name. Certainly has been a blessing to have been here this morning. I too was blessed with our service, and Brother Brandon shared this morning about gratefulness. And we have so much to be grateful for. And gratefulness is so important in the life of the Christian, I do believe. Also, our Sunday school lesson today about running our race with patience. That was challenging to me. I see areas in my life where I can lay aside some things that can prevent me from running the race with patience. And by God's grace, I want to do that. For today, my voice is not in the best of condition. I don't know if any of you can tell that or not. So I am sort of resigned to going into this and see how it goes. And if it doesn't go that well, I don't know if you'll get a shorter sermon or how that will be. But I didn't necessarily shorten my sermon content this morning. I have probably more pages than I have ever had. I don't want to scare you with that. I will try to move rather quickly with some of it. This morning, I had thought to try to do a little bit more of an expository style preaching. Something that I have heard defined before and would like to attempt to master. I probably am not as much along those lines of a personality. I like themes. I really like a theme and then sort of go into scripture that builds that theme. So I have a good bit of scripture reading in today's message. Today's message title I have entitled, Where Are You in Genesis? So this is about the book of Genesis in the Bible. I have something else I'd like to share with you as well. I have recently, because of circumstances in our lives, etc., I have been thinking about a topic or title, you might say, and that is simply, what does God look like? So this is today is not about that. But I'm sure there's a lot that needs to be said to qualify that. What does God look like to you? I would like to, sometime in the future, give a message on that. If you think about that, you can pray for that. But we'll see as God leads. I'm not certain on that. But this is sort of maybe like a prologue to that. This about Genesis. Where are you in the book of Genesis? Now, as we think about Genesis, there's a lot of things that could be said about Genesis, but there's several things that I'd like to point out, and I'm not today endeavoring to insinuate that you should be in Genesis chapter 1, or 5, or 10, or 30, or 50. We all are at varying seasons and stages of life, where a lot of us are different ages. We have a lot of variation of ages here. I think I heard that young baby cry this morning here, and I was like, hallelujah, it's good to hear a young baby cry in church. Welcome that. But our variety of ages, we have a lot of different experiences at this point of our life. And in the book of Genesis, there are a lot of different experiences that people had. The book of Genesis is full of a variety of characters. The book of Genesis is full of a mirror of what God's character is like. God begins in the book of Genesis with the origin of man and then on to his preferred nation of Israel that then eventually goes into his people, the redeemed church of God. The traditional Greek name for the first book of the Bible is Genesis, meaning origin. So it has a lot to do with originations. The book of Genesis opens with one of the most famous sentences of any literary work. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's where we find the famous stories of Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, Noah, and the ark, Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph. It's the history of how the nation of Israel got its beginning, its land, and its religion. Genesis is the second longest book in the Bible, after Jeremiah. There's a lot of characters in Genesis. Several of those characters that we'd like to point out today. One is God, God himself, also known as Yahweh. Secondly, Abraham, also formerly known as Abram. And then Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And then Joseph. So Joseph is somewhat the concluding story in the book of Genesis. But one thing I'd like to point out, and that is while the origin of mankind begins in Genesis chapter 1, the redemption story of God is evident in the last chapter of the book of Genesis. And we too have our origin, do we not? We are born, and we are born of sinful flesh. And then we grow up, and eventually that thing called conscience becomes awake, and the Spirit of God speaks to us. And what are we going to do with that? And if we accept him, the story of redemption can be our testimony. And there's a lot in between that. And for us, if we live a good, healthy life, there is a lot between the time that we start as a baby and the time that we pass from this life. So as you think about where are you in Genesis today, as we read through the books of the chapters of Genesis today, I have selected portions of Genesis that were standouts to me. So they may not necessarily represent what stands out to you, but it was definitely highlights for me. And I'd like for you to contemplate as I read where or how these circumstances or situations relate to you. Maybe there's something you're going through in life. Maybe you're worried about your health. Maybe you're worried about your finances. Maybe you're worried about your family or your business. Or maybe you have some particular challenge. I do think that whatever circumstances you find yourself in today, if you look in the book of Genesis, I think you can find a similar situation that you can draw from. How did they handle it? What did they do? And how did they get through it? The book of Genesis is full of stories we know from Sunday school, like Adam and Eve, Noah's Ark, and Jacob's Ladder. Some stories there that even children can understand and learn about God. Genesis is the story of the promises God made to mankind, promises that God begins to carry out through the rest of the Bible. I really like the way that Genesis builds the pretext to the rest of the Word of God. And I want to say this very carefully, but even if you pull the book of Genesis from the Word of God in of itself, we can see the contents that we then also find in all the subsequent books of the Bible. For example, a lot of the books of the Bible deal with general Christian living as well as also the redemption story. And in Revelations, we see the pinnacle crowning moment of God's redemption story, bringing the redeemed home to himself. And in Genesis, the latter part of Genesis, we would see similar connotations, especially in the story of Joseph. So I like the way that Genesis builds for the rest of the Bible. I'm going to begin reading in Genesis chapter 1. It's up to you if you want to follow along with this or if you prefer to simply listen. And I'll try to move along rather quickly through this. So in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1, says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Go into verse 31 of chapter 1, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Going to verse 7, and the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Going to verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm sorry, I have I'm certain that's a typo. I'm not sure which chapter that may be in chapter 3. It says in verse 1 there, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For if God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Talk about temptation. Certainly we too also experience temptation. In verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. We see the fall of man in this circumstance. Going to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. See here where the fall of man is being manifested in the character of Cain. Going on then to verse 25 of chapter 4. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. We see a time here where men realize that God was important in the picture. Sometimes we too, in our own pictures, realize the importance of God. And it's important for us to call upon his name. Genesis chapter 5, verse 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. One thing we see in Genesis is the genealogies. And later in my notes here, I have something with regards to that. But I would like to point out how that those genealogies do have some form of importance. As a young lad growing up reading the Bible, I always wondered why were all those genealogies in the Bible. Just to hold to that, hopefully I won't forget to cover that. Going to Genesis chapter 5, verse 2, male and female created he them, and he blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and after his image, and called his name Seth. Going to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. It repented the Lord that he had made him. And we, as I think of God, how could he have failed? I don't think it is that God failed. There was something that he wanted to accomplish. Something that I love about God, and that is the Redeemer part of God. So if nothing failed and everything remained perfect, how then were he a Redeemer? If your life was perfect, if you could live your life perfectly, would you need God? Certainly we need the Lord because we understand our imperfection. In chapter 6, there, verse 8, then it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. We see here part of God's redemption plan and the story of the ark. Genesis chapter 8, verse 8. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Verse 20 of the same chapter. And Noah builded an ark, altar, unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. What is the Lord smelling from your life today? Is it a sweet savor, or is it a disappointment for him? Genesis chapter 9, going to verse 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Verse 12, and God said, this is the token of the covenant which I made between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I like that, perpetual generations. That means it extends all the way to us. Verse 13, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And there we have the covenant relationship God established with us that is tangibly evidenced by his rainbow that we see in the sky. Genesis chapter 11, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, if I can say it correctly. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said unto one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and therefore confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them from abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. The Lord demonstrated his sovereignty. Even with all their wits and wisdom, they didn't think about that one little factor, and God was able to scatter them. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Genesis chapter 13, verse 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. We don't have to grow very old until we learn how to quarrel, do we? But we see here what Abram did with Lot, and it is a good example. Verse 9, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take thy left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Genesis chapter 15. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. God's promise to Abram. They were going to be as the stars of the sky. Has anyone ever tried to count the stars of the sky? I have never tried to count. I mean, I don't know how you would start. Such is the promise of the Lord to them that fear him. In verse 6 there of Genesis chapter 15, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Going to Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Going to Genesis chapter 19, verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men lay hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth and abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And then to verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of what? Can someone tell me? Children, Heidi? Salt. That's right. She became a pillar of salt. This morning when Brandon was reading in Luke chapter, I can't remember now, was it 13 or 17? In that very same chapter was this story of Sodom and Gomorrah and what happened to Lot's wife and how that she looked back. A tremendous lesson for us. We too as Christians can sometimes find ourselves with a lot of sin around us and a lot of temptation. And what is it if we but tinker with it? Sometimes we're tempted to think that it's not a big deal. But it can gravitate to something much larger and eventually something that comes and brings us to our doom, as was Lot's wife. Going to Genesis chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. It's Genesis chapter 21, verse 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And I see I've again made a typo. That was Genesis 21, verse 1. Starting in verse 1 there is where we were at. And then verse 2, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, and at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. And offer him therefore burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Going to verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. The most precious thing that Abraham had. And it was a promise. And God had asked him to demonstrate that he was willing to give him up. We too need to demonstrate that we're willing to give up the things that we think were ours. Going to Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand into my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughter of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Going to verse 12, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, and she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. We see God's provision here for his people, and his provision can be very real to us today. I was blessed to note how that the prayer that he prayed there, and God being faithful in that. Going to Genesis 25, verse 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. That is the answer for us many times today in the circumstances that we're in. Inquiring of the Lord. Verse 23, And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Going to Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. How many times do we go to and fro about our day, and we're not aware until all of a sudden he gets our attention? In Genesis chapter 31, Genesis chapter 31, 1. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and that of which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return into the land of thy fathers and of thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not towards me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ringstreak shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ringstreak. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. I just like to point out that sometimes in our business dealings, we're not done right. What is our response? In the same chapter, going to verse 53, The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread. And they did eat bread and tarried all the night in the mount. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned in his place. We see here practical reconciliation, sitting down and talking it out. And Laban was able to leave them to go back to his place peacefully after pursuing Jacob. In Genesis chapter 33, verse 1, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men, and he divided the children into Leah and into Rachel and into the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. We see here humility and reconciliation. Certainly we need those in our lives. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 37 in verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, into the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Going down to verse 23. And it came to pass, when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat and his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. We see here where things really went sideways. In our lives, too, sometimes things can go sideways really quickly. Verse 28, Then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, king of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. He would say, finally, a leg up. But then it really goes sideways. In verse 11 of the same chapter, Genesis 39, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me, and he left his garment in her hand, and he fled and got him out. Going to verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Another day of darkness in Joseph's life. You might say doom and gloom. Well, Joseph didn't succumb to that. Let's read in Genesis chapter 41, beginning there in verse 39. And we'll see what happened. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. This person was in jail not long before. And now the Pharaoh is saying this of Joseph. That's what God can do. God can do that in your life. Verse 40, thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Going to Genesis chapter 49, one verse out of this chapter, verse 33. It says there, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Death comes our way, sooner or later. I remember my life, it seemed like for about 30 years of my life, there hadn't been any death close. Even for a long period of time in this congregation, there hadn't been any deaths. I don't remember the exact number, but I think it was upwards of 15 to 20. Some of you could correct me if I'm mistaken in that. But death comes sooner or later. It is part of life. In that, as we understand God, we understand that it is part of his redemption plan. We will go back to him. Going to Genesis chapter 50 there in verse 22, it says there, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. A wonderful time for Joseph. And then Joseph said in verse 24, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land into the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Going back to God's promise. In verse 25, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And that concludes the book of Genesis, as it is written. Several things to take away from the book of Genesis, and that'll conclude my message today. One is, read Genesis to understand the world's origins and that they are in God. Secondly, read Genesis to develop a higher view of God. Thirdly, read Genesis to gain a deeper faith in God's promises. Fourthly, read Genesis to build a framework for reading the rest of the Bible. The book of Genesis is a book of covenant, of blessing, and of records and genealogies in the promised land. And the promised land also for to come for us, God's people. And back to the aspect of genealogies in Scripture. Genealogies in Scripture I have come to view as God's token of recognizing that everyone he has brought to life on this earth is special. You are not an accident. And your lineage is important. It is not the most important thing, but God does want us to place value on it. There is something there to learn about God. I think I'll leave it with that. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.